Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Blessed are we in the awakening dawn, blessed are we in the morning, blessed are we in the light of the day, as we enjoy the earth turning, blessed are we as the twilight descends, and the magic of dusk is upon us, and blessed are we in the dark of the night as we slip into dreams that are calling. Blessed are we in the awakening dawn. Blessed are we in the morning. Blessed.
You're listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
Hello everyone and welcome to Green Magic, Green Medicine with your host Susan Weed. I'm going to bring her on right now as I see she's in the queue. Welcome, Susan.
Green blessings. Hey, it's nice to be back with you, Daniel.
Thank you very much. And nice to be back with you after our week off.
Yeah.
I was at Blackmore's Night. I don't know if you're familiar with that band, but Ritchie Blackmore of Deep Purple fame and his wife, Candace Knight, they sort of played this sort of Renaissance Fair kind of music, and it was quite a fun concert and great opening band and very interesting time at the Birchmere here in Virginia, kind of a legendary concert hall here, almost like a dinner theater atmosphere, kind of interesting, you know, to go and just see and sit there at a table and watch a band. It was a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, but yes. And it's so important for you, given that you're a musician.
Absolutely. It was very inspiring. There were some amazing musicians at that show, including the opening acts and everything else. It was pretty incredible.
All right. Well, is there chickweed growing where you are?
Chickweed. Now, how would I identify chickweed? If I was a member of the audience and or me asking that.
It's green. That's not much of a clue, is it, Susan? It's small. It likes to creep. It doesn't have an odor. And I call it the little star lady. Chickweed has white flowers with five petals, and each petal is so deeply cleft that it looks like two. So it looks like this star with 10 rays. It doesn't look like a daisy, you know, with that many rays or you know, anything like that. It's really this distinct star-like pattern because, of course, it's based on the five like the star is.
Mm-hmm.
And chickweed likes rich and somewhat moist soils. It's a really frequent weed in gardens. But you'll also find it in a variety of places like plants in pots. And I was just reading in my big green book, Healing Wise, about chickweed. And at the end of each section, I talk about other people who especially like this plant. And I mention Henrietta Rao, who treats chickweed with incredible respect and understanding. And Audrey Hatfield, who writing 100 years ago was clearly loving and enjoying chickweed. And Susan Hitchcock, in her book Wildflowers on Your Windowsill, and she says, chickweed was one of the plants that got me started in the adventure of growing wildflowers on my windowsill. And I mentioned parenthetically that she's obviously too nice to call it a weed. But weed it is. In
great
plants,
book too.
Plants. What?
I said a great book title as well, Wildflowers on the Windowsill. I think it's a great...
Isn't that a wonderful title? Yes. And so it would be blooming at this time of the year with those beautiful little starry flowers. And one of the reasons that I was asking if you had any around is because it's a really tasty plant, but kind of tasty in a bland way. In other words, sometimes people say, oh, it's a really tasty plant. And they mean, whoa, you know, it like knocks your socks off. But chickweed is a kind of tasty plant that doesn't assert itself really strongly, so it's really easy to use it in a lot of different ways. And so far as we can tell, people have been using chickweed and using it as a foodstuff for a very, very long time. In fact, chickweed fossils have been found in the Lee Valley Arctic bed and in the soil stratum with the late glacial period as the glaciers were retreating from Europe. We start to find chickweed seeds with other evidence of human activity and human habitation. Now, chickweed seeds in and of themselves, although they are tiny, can be used as a grain. And something as tiny as that, we're certainly not going to go out and pick the seeds. What I do to get chickweed seeds is to harvest a mess of chickweed while it's flowering, put it in a plastic bag, and leave it in the refrigerator for a few days. Chickweed has the remarkable, and sometimes not beloved by gardeners, ability to continue to set seed even after it's been harvested. So if, for instance, you think that chickweed is a weed and you don't want it in your garden and you pull it out of your garden and throw it somewhere, it will, even though it looks wilted, even though it looks dead, continue to ripen and set its seeds and seed in the spot where you threw it.
Right.
It's an annual, so we don't have to worry about it really taking over the garden, but it can cover broad areas. It's not, strictly speaking, a creeper, but it kind of acts like that. That seed that I was talking about sprouts, and then a mandala spreads out from that seed. It's actually so beautiful to watch. And again, like that star pattern, right? So we have the strong center, and then we have the chickweed growing almost flat on the ground out from that strong center. And as it begins to grow, the ends can kind of turn up depending on how crowded it is and how rich the soil is. Most of the time, chickweed doesn't get beyond, oh, maybe 4 inches tall, but in really rich soils, I've seen it 6 to 8 inches tall. And one of the places where I saw enormous amounts of chickweed was as a freshwater river was coming into the ocean in Northern California. And there, right at that little delta from the freshwater, there was a miner's lettuce and chickweed. And we could have cut it all day and not seem to have touched the enormous amount that was there. So this is the time to go out and look for chickweed. See if you can find it. Look around your compost pile. Look in your potted plants. Look even in vacant lots if there's some rich soil there. Now, chickweed doesn't like it hot. Oh, She is a very cool weather type of lady, little star lady, I call her. And the stars, of course, glitter on those cold nights and are there in outer space where it's very cold. So that's easy to remember, that chickweed. Stellaria, which means little star, Stellaria media, right? Our little star lady likes it cold. And as soon as the temperatures warm up, she flowers, makes seeds, and dies. That's it. She says, now, the fact that it's an annual doesn't mean it lives for a whole year. In some places, the chickweed might only live for a month or two. But in more shady or more moist places, the chickweed will hold on, especially if you give it a haircut. Remember I said that it started growing from a strong central point. That seed, that sprouting seed, comes up, and then like spokes in a wheel, the stalks radiate out from the chickweed and then turn and start to grow up. And what I do is kind of pick it up in one hand like I was giving it a haircut. You know how you hold somebody's hair and then kind of cut between your fingers? That's just what I do with the chickweed. This gives me several advantages. First of all, when I lay the chickweed in my harvesting basket, it's all parallel. It's all running in exactly the same way, and that's going to be really helpful to me because when I put it in my salads, and often just if I'm making anything of it, I'm going to want to cut that chickweed up. You think about celery, right? Celery is lovely, and we like it in all kinds of dishes, but we don't throw whole celery stalks in our salad or whatever we're cooking because there's those fibrous strands in the celery. And similarly, chickweed, which is on these long fibrous stalks, is best and most palatable if it's cut up. There's a wonderful website called Learning Herbs, and last month, because they're on the West Coast and so the chickweed comes a little earlier, they were making chickweed grilled cheese sandwiches. How easy is that? You start out just like a regular grilled cheese. They buttered one side of the bread. Then they put a little mustard on the other side of the bread. And they put some cheese and then some chickweed and then some more cheese. And then another piece of bread with a little mustard and butter on the other side. And they put it in a pan and just grilled it in the pan until the cheese melted and the chickweed had turned bright green. However, you know, I don't feel like I need any kind of green in my melted cheese sandwich. I don't usually put any melted green, any kind of green in my, you know, cheese sandwich like that. But I really do like greens when I have a bacon, chickweed, and tomato sandwich. Now, the classic, of course, is bacon, lettuce, and tomato. So it's a sandwich that we usually do put greens on. And what I suggest that you do is take a tablespoon of mayonnaise and a tablespoon of yogurt and mix them together and then use that on your bread. And that way you will not fret so much that you're using bacon. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a huge amount of bacon. Three slices of fried bacon is just perfect. And a trick from my mom, rather than putting the bacon in a frying pan and getting all that grease all over the kitchen, put the bacon on a baking sheet and put it in the oven at 350. Perfect bacon every time, no splatters. You can cook it to crisp or you can cook it to limp, whatever you like for it. So you kind of do the same thing. You get your bread, and I like mine toasted, but you might not, and you put your mayonnaise yogurt mixture on it, and then you slice some tomatoes, and you put that on it, and then you get some chickweed from your garden, and you chop it up, and you put that on it, and by now, your bacon is done. You take your bacon out, you put that on it, you put the other piece of bread on, and enjoy your bacon, chickweed, and tomato sandwich. Oh, chickweed is great. Ewell Gibbons says, it's true, chickweed is detested by farmers and gardeners, but I love this little plant so much that I can hardly bear to hoe it out wherever it comes up. Well, you know what, Ewell Gibbons, you don't have to hoe it out of your garden because chickweed is a wonderful companion plant. It creates a ground cover that keeps the soil a little bit cooler, which is wonderful in the hot summer months, and helps to retain moisture in the soil. So put down that hoe and instead sing a song of praise for chickweed.
Yes.
Yes. As chickweed kind of fades away, as the summer comes on, I have another chickweed that grows on my property. And I'm seeing it more and more in other places as well. It looks like chickweed that was put through a copy machine set to copy at a much higher size. So whereas Stellaria media, the little star lady, is little, the leaves being, maybe an eighth to a quarter of an inch small, and the little flowers being not more than a quarter of an inch, a little plant here. The starry chickweed, or giant chickweed, as we call it, has leaves that are between 1.5 and 2 inches long, and flowers that can be up to 1/2 inch across. Same five-petaled flower, white flower, with each petal finely cut once, so that it looks like 10 fine rays, but in a star-like shape. And this is starry chickweed, or Stellaria pubera. That also means pubescent, doesn't it? All right, so despite the fact that it's large, it's actually being called the child of the regular chickweed. Stellaria media, as I said, has been used from as far back as we can find any records. In the post-glacial period in Europe of humans using plants, chickweed is definitely there. They probably didn't make chickweed pesto, however. And that's partly because, well, I like to use a blender or a food processor to make my pestos. And I know somebody told me that pesto means paste, and that it was called that because you were actually using a very sharp knife and cutting the herbs of the pesto up, cutting until they became a paste, or you were putting your herbs or pesto into a mortar and pestle and grinding them until they became a paste. Well, most of the time when we think of pesto, we think of basil pesto. Basil is a member of the mint family. It's not required, however, to use basil to make pesto. Other members of the mint family and totally unrelated plants like chickweed make fabulous pestos. So here's how I would make chickweed pesto. I would initially mix it together with basil, because basil is the taste that you're used to. You can, of course, just make your chickweed pesto all by yourself. We want to start with about 2 cups of fresh plant material. That can be 1 cup of chickweed and 1 cup of basil, or 2 cups of chickweed. And then we want 2 to 6 cloves of garlic, depending on how garlicky you like it. I tend to go toward the upper end, but garlic can get pretty strong.
Me as well.
And we want about 1/2 cup of olive oil. Now, truthfully, what I do is I chop the herbs kind of coarsely, put them into my little food processor, and pour enough oil over it. I don't really use any kind of measuring device. I just pour enough oil over there to just barely hit the top of the greens that I have in there. And then I slice up my garlic and throw that in there. And, of course, we're going to want some salt. So do be sure to sprinkle some salt in there. The salt actually not only gives it a wonderful, wonderful flavor, but salt itself is a grinding material, so it really helps to grind up the herbs in your pesto. And somebody said to me that she had indeed made pesto by grinding in a mortar and pestle. But she said what you had to do in order to get it to really work was to use salt. And the resulting pesto was too salty for her taste, because the person who was showing her how to do it just kept, you know, putting in more and more salt in order to get the greens more and more ground up. So we don't have to do that if we're using a blender or a food processor. A food processor is a little safer. I have burned out, and the apprentices have burned out quite a few blenders making pesto in the blender. So now we strictly use the food processor. What do you notice is missing from this recipe? Well, the primary thing that's missing from this is cheese and nuts. Now, cheese and nuts are wonderful in pesto. I have nothing against either cheese or nuts, but I don't put them in my pesto when I make it because both cheese and nuts spoil rapidly. And I want to be able to keep my pesto around for a long time. And by long time, I mean that I usually keep my pesto refrigerated for up to 2 years and in the freezer for up to 5 years.
Yes.
And if we put cheese and nuts in there, we're not going to get that kind of longevity because those things go rancid. So if you want pine nuts or you want Parmesan cheese or Romano cheese or anything like that in your pesto, that's great. But what I say is add it when you're going to use it.
Yes.
So chickweed pesto. Wow.
That sounds
once
pretty
you get
amazing.
Once you get started with other herbs besides basil for pesto, it's difficult to go back to basil because the other herbs are so delicious and wonderful. And it has become a rather favorite thing of many of my students to see what kind of exotic weed, so not that exotic, they can use to make pesto. One of the best pestos I had, and I, you know, would not have guessed it, was dandelion leaf pesto.
Wow.
And you would think, oh, dandelion leaf, that would be coarse, that would be bitter, but it wasn't. And it ground up very nicely. It was delicious, of course, with the garlic, and it just made a beautiful, beautiful pesto that could be spooned right onto hot pasta. So let chickweed be your gateway there to get in and get more chickweed. In my green book, Healing Wise, I do have recipes for using chickweed cooked, but only one. As a matter of fact, at the very beginning of the recipe section, I say cooked chickweed don't. Ignore all recipes or suggestions to cook chickweed. It is at its buoyant best when it is raw. Use chickweed like parsley. It's a bland but salty, herby garnish. Try it in omelets, stuffed eggs, potato salad, pasta salad, pesto, and so on. So if you find chickweed, that is my major recommendation. Don't bother really cooking with it. But as you see, you know, we're using it for pesto. We're using it in sandwiches. Use it as a garnish. Throw it in your salads. Fabulous in your salads. And you might want to consider making a tincture of it. Now, both the giant chickweed and the Stellaria media are medicinal, and we eat lots and lots of the giant chickweed. It's a wonderful, tasty salad plant as well, and all the things we've been talking about, the chickweed, you can use the giant chickweed as well. And the primary thing that chickweed tincture is going to do is to dissolve cysts. Anywhere that there's a cystic growth in the body, chickweed is going to get in there and slide it away. Chickweed is so amazingly good at doing that. Right? As a matter of fact, some people consider chickweed to be like oil for the joints or like a lubricating fluid for all the parts of the body. It's as though when we're consuming chickweed that we can slip and slide with less stress and less friction. Now, I don't generally make chickweed tincture just because I really love the tinctures that I do rotate through, stinging nettle, red clover, oat straw, comfrey leaf, and linden. But chickweed does make a wonderful infusion, and I have had several of my students make it one of their mainstay infusions, especially those who are looking to lose weight, because that slippery, oily, almost soapy way that chickweed has in the body seems to break open fat cells and help to actually shrink the individual fat cells. I'm going to go way out on a limb here, because what modern medicine says is you have a certain number of fat cells, and they get bigger or smaller. But while you can add fat cells and get more fat cells, you can't ever lose them. And I actually think that chickweed can help you lose fat cells. It actually can actually slide some of those fat cells away. All right. Chickweed is a cool helper when things get hot. Fevers, infections, inflammations, anything that's hot is going to be tempered and chilled by chickweed. And she almost tells us that, doesn't she? She says, oh, dear, the sun is shining. I think I have to leave now. All right, so we see that chickweed likes, where was that one place that I described it? At the delta of a freshwater stream, right? And so shaded and cool there, moist and lovely. So we can really see very clearly how chickweed is telling us, I bring cool. I bring moistness. Lungs love her moistening, expectorating qualities. Lung infections respond promptly because chickweed is able to dissolve bacterial membranes. This is something that hasn't been talked about a lot, but it's kind of a growing understanding that we have. We used to think, oh, well, there's bacteria, and those bacteria do what they do, but they kind of do it individually. But we are finding that bacteria actually love to work together, and they work together to make what we call biofilms. And this is a thin, thin film of bacteria. So rather than the bacteria piling up into a clump, they spread themselves out into almost like a net. And because bacteria are microscopic, so you can't see the bacterial film, but it's these bacterial films that can make infections, especially lung infections, so difficult to treat. Because it's so as though the bacteria are strengthening each other and helping each other, and chickweed gets in there and helps to dissolve that bacteria biofilm. Chickweed also nourishes the bronchial tissues and the little hairs there in the bronchioli so that those hairs can move more freely. And that also helps to clear infections. Chickweed has been used for people dealing with heated chest congestion such as croup, asthma, smoker's cough, bronchitis, whooping cough, pleurisy, chest cold, flu, sore throat, weak lungs, bleeding from the lungs, inflamed lungs, pneumonia, emphysema, reactions to pollen, allergies, and tuberculosis. Well, that is quite the list, isn't it? I can hardly think of what else could possibly go wrong with your lungs except, oh, a dear friend is coming to mind, and she had severe lung problems, and so she decided to move to the desert southwest where the air was drier, and she thought it would be better for her lungs, and she moved to New Mexico. And what she didn't realize was the area of New Mexico that she moved to, there was a lot of uranium mining there, and so there was uranium in the air that she was breathing, dust particles from the uranium, and she breathed those into her lungs, and that so impaired the functioning of her lungs that she had a heart attack. So by a long stretch, we could say that keeping your lungs healthy by using chickweed is also a wonderful way to prevent having a heart attack. The last time I saw her, she was getting ready for a lung transplant, and that did not work as it had been hoped that it would work. Bladders and kidneys also relax at the cool touch of chickweed. But we can't really talk about that because I just looked at the time, and I cannot believe this time goes so fast with you. It must be because you are such a charming host. Are you still there, Daniel? Did we get disconnected? Well, green blessings to everybody. I'm going to call back in just on an off chance that we were disconnected.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
You're listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.